So how does one come to the point where they're like, you know what, I want to write a book about my life? When was that moment that you said to yourself, you know what, this is a story that people need to know about?
Well, basically, I hadn't been around the industry for many years, mm-hmm. and I'd come back to the UK in 2001, and I was quite ill, and as I write in the book, I had issues with addiction. What happened was is I went to rehab during my 6 months in rehab. Part of the counseling, other, because you have the detox, and that's all fine, but the counseling is important as well as just a detox, because you'll find out what your triggers are and stuff like that. So part of our counseling was, we had daily written work. So from about 9 till 5, we were in a group therapy in the morning where we were pushed to, you know, express ourselves by the counselors. And then we'd have certain tasks that we would write down. Mm-hmm. And so I started to really enjoy this writing things down. One of the things would be like, have you any resentments against anybody and in your past, you know, and it took you back and you start thinking your childhood and you go through and in the end, you know, my notes became massive and I found it really therapeutic. And so when I came out of rehab, I carried on writing things down, and I had so many notes, and then I thought, you know what, I should write a book about my life, because here is the whole story. And because I kind of disappeared, I feel like I'd just gone, mm-hmm. I thought maybe people might wonder what happened to me. That wasn't the reason I wrote the book. It was also a way of making amends to my daughters. And basically I had two co-authors, and, cause I wasn't, clever enough to literally type it, but I had great notes. And I talked a lot of stuff in rehab that was all fresh in my mind. So my co-authors actually made a book out of my notes. Mm-hmm. So actually it was a therapeutic, I wrote the book after all these years because it was good for me in therapy to write things down. And I was going to say, and that's the reason I wrote it, was because it was therapeutic. That's the reason I wrote it. So
is it fair to say that this book, in a way, helped you not only overcome addiction, but to stay overcome from that addiction?
Yes, because a lot of addicts, I think, you know, have a lot of unresolved issues, and so when you kind of accept everything, my own mistakes, kind of admitting my mistakes, mm-hmm. was therapeutic, because I could reflect all the way back to my childhood, and so therefore it's definitely something I still practice to this day. If something's bothering me, a lot of the times if you are angry or resentful at someone, there's usually a reason what's something that you're thinking that you know, like if you have a resentment at someone, you can actually say, well, what have you done wrong? What have I done wrong? And then I could be looking at myself rather than what they've done, but how I'm reacting to it. Sure. So it's a way of just looking at what your mistakes are. And therefore, you're cleaning up your side of the street for yourself, not for anyone else, for yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you, I mean, I've watched, you know, a ton of your work. I was a kid when you were in WCW, and I remember you quite vividly. You were just so different, you know, obviously, you know, the blonde hair, you know, you fit in perfectly in that big wide world of wrestling, but you know, it was your accent, it was your demeanor, it was all of those things. But I mean, I have to ask you, how does somebody like you get involved in the wrestling industry, like a first generation, you know, performer? Like how did that happen?
Completely by accident. I never once pursued a career in pro wrestling. I happened to be the girlfriend of Chris Adams here in the UK, 1978. He and I were dating, and one day he said, oh, I've got this idea that I think it'd be cute because it's never been done before that we will have a girl be a second this boxing rules here in the UK back then. And Chris said, oh, come on, you're going to do this. It did get a lot of press, like our national press. They found it kind of cute because he was kind of a bit of the glamour boy of wrestling back then. And I was the girl and they'd wolf whistle. And I wasn't involved in the matches, as in the stuff I got involved in taking bumps. It was just coming in the ring and it was a little bit of a novelty. And then Chris had an idea that I think back in USWA, they used girls prior to Tony and I and Steve and Chris doing in the angle. And I think Chris thought that was kind of good. I think Missy Hyatt and Baby Doll, all the way back then, Precious and Sunshine. And he said, oh, I think I have this idea that we could bring these girls in. And he was going to use Gina Hernandez. Mm-hmm. So he phoned me up and he said, oh, would you be interested in doing that? And obviously I did that. And then the next time, after Steve and I were dating, Magnum happened to call Steve at my house and I was answering the phone. Steve wasn't in and he's like, where are you from? And what do you do? Just firing up a conversation with me. And I told him I'd done some work with Steve in World Class, and he said, oh, well, why don't you send us some tapes? Because they had a girl with Steve in WCW, but I never met her or saw her work with Veronica. And then that for some reason the chemistry, they said, wasn't really good there. So, no, I never once tried to get a job. I kind of just, happens to have them ask me to do it.
So. Yeah. So I have to ask, because, I mean, there's tons of stories about, you know, the relationships in the back with the boys, like how the guys interacted with one another. But how did the women interact with one another back then? Because, I mean, back then you guys really weren't wrestling. You guys were valets and you guys were playing, you know, important roles in storylines and stuff like that. So how were you guys interacting with one another, especially, like, during, like, the World Class time?
Well, when I was working at World Class, I think there really wasn't that many girls working at the time I was working. Tony and I, who was Chris's wife, who was part of the angle, were really, really good friends. So we got along great. We saw each other when we wasn't working. We had go shopping together and have dinners together. A lot of girls were really working then. When I was in WCW, I had met Missy Hyatt in Texas through Chris, so I kind of knew her. She helped me out a lot. She said, oh, you know, I'll show you where things are in Atlanta and where the hairdressers and clothing shops. So me and Missy, she wrote the intro for my book. We were good friends. That time too was Terry Runnels, and she was doing the Alexandra York. As Alexandra York, and we had a good relationship because we had a lot of interest in baby stuff because she was wanting to have a baby. She was dating Dustin at the time, and I went to her baby shower, and we often talked about Not about wrestling, more about relationships. And, of course, then they brought Medusa in, who I think's awesome. Mm-hmm. She was so athletic.
Great worker.
And she didn't have anyone good enough to work with her. back then, because none of us were, well, Missy was doing interviews, and Terry had to, and I was the heel manager, and I always thought, sadly, there wasn't, because there is nowadays, I think, more girls wrestling, but back then you know, she didn't. But I got a lot, to be honest, I got along with all the girls and everybody was super nice to me.
Okay. Another question I've always thought about asking you, like, when Steve went to ECW, was there ever, like, a thought of maybe you going with him, considering, like, you know, that could have been something different for you?
For me to work again?
Mm-hmm. I know you were very happy being a wife and very happy being a stay-at-home mom, but, like, was there ever a thought of you possibly going to ECW with him?
No. And I think, obviously, when he went to ECW, I was very pregnant with my third daughter, Cassidy.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Jarrett had called me while I was in Atlanta, and he'd asked me if I would do a valet called Nanny Simpson, I think, with his Jerry Lawler's son at the time, mm-hmm. Brian Christopher,
mm-hmm.
and Steve absolutely shot that down, like, no way, you know. Jerry Jarrett said to me, this is what happens, he said, as soon as you girls start dating these wrestlers, you know, they don't actually want you in the business anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that's definitely a true statement. Steve would not have wanted me because, you know, and also don't forget, I had three children by
yes.
now. So, you know, one more on the way, but I would have been it would have been just too difficult being a mom of mm-hmm. three.
I got you. So yeah. I've interviewed a ton of wrestlers over the years and like a lot of indie guys. And I remember, I asked Bob Backlund one time, you know, I'm like, you've been married for almost 40 years. How did that happen? You know, it doesn't happen in wrestling. And he's like, my wife's never come to a show. She's never around the boys. And, I've interviewed a lot of indie guys and they say the same thing. They're like, the easiest way to like screw up a relationship is to bring, you know, your girlfriend or your wife or whatever around the boys. How much of that do you think rings true? How difficult was it to be married or dating in the industry at that time?
Well, I think that's very true. Cause when I started working in World Class, I was single for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
When I started that angle, and I owned my own business, the Telegram business, was very independent. I had 10 employees and I used to go to the sportatorium to the recordings that they did on a Friday night and a Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And a few months later, Steve and I started dating. Obviously, I went to WCW, but he didn't like me talking to the boys. He actually didn't, you know, he preferred if I stayed in my dressing room. And yeah, it's difficult. It really is, because there's, you kind of, like, when I was in World Class, I would talk to everybody. You know, I would be friendly to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would be watching, you know, Steve might not be too happy if I talked to that person or that person, and he wasn't. So it's definitely true that the boys, once they start dating, the whole thing, you know, if you're talking to them, changes.
I gotcha.
It's jealousy, actually, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And who wouldn't be jealous, you know? So, especially, like, it's hard, you know, all those guys are all great looking, they're all in great shape, you know? So, I mean, it's kind of rough, so.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you want people to take away from this book? Like, when someone's on the last page, on the last sentence of the last paragraph, and they, you know, they close the book, that first thought, that first breath, what do you want them to kind of, like, feel? What do you want them to think to themselves?
Probably that this is such a story of survival. And I think, you know, when you think of Sherry and Elizabeth, Luna, Tony Adams, who's a really good friend, and later now you've got China, is that addiction is something that kills you. And if it doesn't kill you, it will, like, you'll go in a hospital or you'll go in jail. So you haven't got a lot of choices with really bad addiction. And hopefully that, you know, if you can, as in my book, I've just confessed this is what I did to some horrific stuff. And I would hope that they would, you know, see that there is hope to quit drugs, and I would think that sometimes you've just got to hold your hands up and admit you have a problem, because addicts are incredibly secretive, and the addiction is incredibly progressive. So, you know, when you start out, you know, tell it how it is, you take the drugs because it changes the way you feel, because you like the way you feel, whether it be it takes away your anxiety, gives you more confidence, and so you like that. Then as you carry on, then what happens is they lose their effect, because they're not really meant to be taken long term.
Mm-hmm.
If you take like anti-anxiety or sleeping pills, usually it's like the doctors will tell you it becomes pretty much ineffective after a couple of weeks. So what will happen is you should take more. So you're trying to get the same effect. So you're increasing, and then you get into like a hamster really on a wheel going round, and then you can't stop because you can't tolerate the withdrawals. So it's very, very dangerous, and obviously in the end, you know, your goal to stronger, and then obviously it's too much, and that's when you're gonna OD. So it's a dangerous game, you know, all around. I'm so glad I'm 3 years clean.
I'm happy that you're 3 years clean too. I'm sure there's plenty of people that are happy that you're 3 years clean.
Yeah.
How has this book changed your relationship with your daughters and with Steve?
With my daughters, it's fantastic. They've been really supportive, and you know, that they've been proud of me for everything. When I first wrote the book, it came out in May. Steve actually phoned me. I had an interview with Wrestling Inc. It was my first interview. And
mm-hmm.
He asked me if I found the book cathartic, and I said I did. I actually know he read the book, but he hasn't talked to me since. And I don't know if I think he's going to love some of it and he's not going to like some of it. But I would have thought he would have learned more about me, and obviously the decisions I made, which some were bad, especially when I left the US and I came to the UK. I think my issue towards the last chapter in the book was, let's not make the girls the victims of his mistakes and my mistakes. You know, I'm not blaming it all on him by any means. And I'm just thinking it would be nice for him to have a better relationship with his girls. And maybe he's not too happy that I wrote that. I don't know, but he hasn't spoken to me since.
Okay.
But it doesn't change the fact that it's true. And they're still, you know, the victims in some respects. But me and my girls have really, really, I mean, it's fantastic how our relationship now.
That's great. So last question from me, and it's not so much a wrestling question, even though, I mean, we could talk about that a little bit, but, like, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want people to think about you? Not necessarily Lady Blossom, but you as a person because of this book.
I would say that I have survived a lot of adversity in my life, and I've been a person that has had a lot of faith, really. You know, I'm a Christian girl, but that hopefully that my story could perhaps inspire people to learn more about addiction, I think, is what I would say. Hope that's okay. Yeah. Just trying to, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah, and that, you know, to not feel any too much shame over addiction, although you will feel a lot of shame and guilt of the things you did, is that most people would need to know that when a person is in active addiction, they are unwell, and not to judge them too much, but you know that because the addict is actually probably wanting to stop taking drugs more than anybody, but they need the support and not the judgment of people.